Brilliant. We're coming to the last of a sort of mini-series that myself and Amy have been sharing. And I think we're quite fortunate. It's been sort of encouraging people, speaking into people's lives where they are at the moment. And we've sort of been talking about work, family, commitments, and God. How can I expand my tent when I'm already full? Because so many of us, we really struggle. We got our verse this year is about enlarging the place of our tent. And sometimes it's great to enlarge our capacity, but when you feel like you're at capacity, it's challenging, isn't it? How do I stretch? How do I grow? And today, I want to talk about rest. And we know we need it. How many of you would like more rest in life? And the problem is, often it's a thing that we seem to be getting the least of, okay? You wake up in the mornings and you just feel like, oh my goodness, can I go back to bed? But you know, you can't go back to bed because you've got commitments and things that are on. It was really interesting. It was when I first came back to Silverdale, I went out for a breakfast with Chima, and we were talking, and he said something to me, which I didn't, made to make a big impact, but I'd never noticed before. He said to me, he says, Jim, as pastor, you need to make sure that you rest. Because he said, when you are not rested and you preach, we can tell. And I thought, oh my goodness. It really hit me. And sometimes we feel like we're doing okay. We feel like we're operating okay. We feel like we're going around as normal. But actually, we're exhausted, aren't we, sometimes? We go through it. And rest is so important for us. But so often, people say lines to me like, I would love to rest, but I'm too busy. I can't rest. And stuff goes on. So today, I just want to unpack rest and why I think rest is really important to us. Because as Christians, rest is important. I'm going to look at the Bible, how much it talks about it. It's important for us, but we're so busy that we forget how important resting and recharging is. So I'm going to go straight in. Beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 2, if you're following in your Bible. Genesis chapter 2, verse 2, it says this. It says, by the seventh day, God had finished the work he'd been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating all that he had done. So I know this, right at the beginning, in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, we have God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit operating and working through here. And they rested. And God rested on that seventh day. And I'm thinking, God, if anyone doesn't need rest, it's God. Surely it says God doesn't sleep, nor does he slumber. He doesn't need the break. But God knew he maybe doesn't need a break. But God, the one who created us and pulled us together, he knows that you need a break. He knows that you need rest. And we live in a world that seems to be getting quicker and quicker and quicker. You know, before lockdown, I remember when lockdown hit, I often share this story. I said to my wife, Naomi, I kind of think God is probably telling us all to slow down. This is like a slow down moment. We've come out of lockdown. We came out quite slowly. And now we seem to be going 5 times faster than we did before. Everyone who I speak to in every work sphere, no matter where it is, they seem to be under so much more pressure. But God knew this wasn't healthy for us. God knew that we need rest. God knew that we couldn't just keep going and going and going. So he goes and he said, rest is important. Rest is good. You know, Jesus, God the Son, in Matthew 11, 28 says this. He says, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened. And what does he say? I will give you rest. Really important. Jesus invites us to come to him for rest. We got God the Spirit in Isaiah chapter 63, verse 14. It says this. They were given, what were they given? Rest by the Spirit of the Lord. You know, seeing a pattern here? You've got right at the beginning, you've got God giving rest. You've got Jesus later on in the New Testament giving rest. You've got the Spirit in the middle of the Bible giving rest. And rest is so important for us. It's just something that all of us need, and I don't think many of us probably get as much as we need. I found an interesting fact this week. One of the house groups, we were talking about the idea of rest and Sabbath and sort of different things. But apparently before the light bulb was created, the average American slept for 11 to 12 hours a day. How many of you get 11 or 12 hours a day? No. Those of you who do, I'm jealous of you. Okay. But it's really important, rest, the way we were created, and we're living very differently. And Genesis chapter 2, and verse 2, the word that was means rested is the word in Hebrew is Shabbat. Some of you might recognize that. Shabbat is where we get the word Sabbath from. In fact, the Jews call it the Shabbat. It means to stop, to cease, or to be complete. And I love this idea, to stop, to cease being everything and what everyone else is wanting you to be, to pause, to be complete just how God has created you to be. Just to be complete with God. You know, so much of our week is about striving. We try and be better colleagues, we try and be better parents, we try and be better spouses, we try and be better sons and daughters, and we have that pressure on us to be better, to be better, to be better. Those of you in work, you'll know that you'll have your appraisals coming up and they'll be telling you how can you get better? And the whole time you're trying to be better and better and better. And I love this idea of stopping, of resting, of not trying to perform or be anything else, but just to cease and to be, to connect with God as a child of God, just to be one with Him and just to connect with Him. Does anyone like that idea of just stopping and not performing? Doesn't that sound really good? This is what God said right at the beginning of the Bible. It's one of the first things that is mentioned because God just knows the burdens. He knows the struggles we're going through. And in fact, God sort of subtly hints at the beginning here. He said the seventh day, you kind of need to be resting. This is kind of important. This he says, you know what, I rested. So if I'm God and I chose to rest, then kind of a little bit of you need to rest as well. You need to take it easy. And then he gets a little, is that someone's phone ringing there? There we go. It's jingling. I hope it's Holy Spirit phoning. There we go. Someone check your phones quickly. There we go. It's always that moment, isn't it? But God goes beyond subtle. And God eventually, rather than subtly saying, you need to rest, He makes it really clear. If you're following your Bible, skip forward to Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 to 11. This is what He says. Remember that on the Sabbath day, the Shabbat day, remember the day of rest and the day of ceasing. Remember by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But in the seventh day is the Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. Neither shall you, nor your son or daughter, nor male or female, nor animals, nor any foreigners residing in your towns. For in the 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the seas and all that's in them. But He rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and made it holy. Now if you unpack it a bit more, has anyone ever watched The West Wing? Not many of you West Wing followers. Oh, The West Wing is the best TV show ever created. And there's a scene in The West Wing where this one guy who's about the president of the United States, and this is one of the guys who's running to be president of the United States, and he won't say he's a Christian. And someone says to him, why aren't you a Christian? And he said, well, the reason I'm not a Christian is because in Exodus 20, God says the consequences for not resting on the Sabbath day is death. And he said, why would a God who loves people have that as a consequence? And I remember when I first heard that on The West Wing, I thought, he's got a point. Why did God say about resting? He has rest here, and He says you need to rest, you need to take it easy. And there's some bits of the Bible that are a little bit uncomfortable, aren't they? And this is one of those bits that's a little bit uncomfortable for me when I first read it. And I was thinking, God, from my Western perspective, my Western postmodern mindset, it's a bit extreme to you to say if someone doesn't rest on the Sabbath, you should kill them. Like this, there's consequences and there's consequences. Why does God say this? It's a bit extreme. But I started to look into this recently. I don't know if you look into reports about workplace absences. And recently they found this, that 76% of people who had been off work, who responded to these surveys, were off work because they were exhausted or stressed. The reason people couldn't go into work. I wonder how many of those were exhausted and stressed because they weren't resting. The consequences for not resting are absolutely massive. You know, so many of us live in high, intense environments. We have high stress at work. We have high stress with our family. We have intense social lives. And we have a balance and pressure to balance everything. The list never seems to go down. It just seems to be go, keep going, keep going, keep going. And as a result, we end up burned out. We end up tired. We end up stressed. Our mental health suffers. You know, one of the biggest killers amongst young people is suicide. And so we've seen the results in my family. We've seen the results in our area. There's so much pressure. There's so much that goes down. And God says here, he says, listen, you may not think resting is important, but he says resting is so important. This is one of the most important things that you can do. Yet we seem to treat it as an optional extra in our lives. It's something that you get if you've earned it. And God says it's not something that you get if you earn. It's something that every single one of us needs. You see, the people of Israel, they come out of slavery when this was given. They'd been in slavery. They had to work every single day for Pharaoh. Pharaoh kept driving them. Pharaoh kept making them work harder to make bricks in Egypt. And they were slaves. And they were coming out of slavery. And God was saying to them, listen, you may have been slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt, but you can easily become slaves to something else. And the question I want to ask you today is this. What has become your slave? What are you slaves to? If you can't have a rest, it means you're slave to something or some circumstances. That means you can't have a break. And God was saying, I brought you out of slavery so that you don't have to be working 24/7 all the time. Because rest is important. He says this. He says you need to stop. You need to get off the treadmill. You need to have rest in your life. You need to create that space for rest. And the space that God told them to create was on the Sabbath day. And I want to say to you today that if some of you, if you don't slow down sometimes, if you don't force yourself to have rest, you will burn out. You will find yourself in a place where you can't keep going anymore. And you want to stretch, you want to enlarge yourself, you want to achieve more in life, but you won't be able to because you're pushing it too much. Don't we know this stuff? How many of you know that you could burn out very easily? We know it, but it's really hard to put into practice sometimes, isn't it? This is so important for us. You know, unless we rest, we'll be like the Titanic. Everything will look great on the surface, but under the water, we're about to hit a deadly iceberg that will shatter everything, that will destroy everything. So rest is important. You know, we need to rest. We need to refuel. We need to have time we can pause. Now, some of you, you're thinking, my goodness, I can't have 24 hours out. That's fine. Some of you are going to struggle to get 24 hours. Okay, I know what it's like. You know, with little children, when they're coming in, I used to love it. I thought parenting was really easy when my daughters had naps every afternoon. It was when they stopped having naps in the afternoon, I thought they were ready to kill me. Okay, it was like the torture. You understand now why sleep torture is the worst thing you can give somebody. Lack of sleep. But there's stuff you can do in your life to break little moments of rest, little moments of refreshing where you are. And I believe if you can get a good 24 hours, like some, you know, we read these books and they say, oh, have 24 hours off and don't do anything. I'm like, what planet are they living in? Okay, it's really challenging. But there's times when you can actually have that time where you intentionally rest, intentionally get refreshed by God. So I want to give us three things today. I like to give it that practical in my sermons. Three things that I'm speaking out of experience here, of things that I've done to try and help me. And I'm sometimes good at this, and I'm sometimes bad at this. And I can tell when I'm doing it badly, because I feel like my life's falling apart for a moment. And my wife will say, Jim, rest. You know, when I was, share the story long often, but when I was 18 years old, I was trying to do my, I was doing all my homework and everything else, and my college work on a Sunday. And my mentor came up to me and he said, Jim, he says, you need to stop. You need to have some rest and not do college work every day. And I was like, well, how am I going to fit everything in? And he said to me, Jim, just give God one day a week. And he said, give God a Sunday. So I gave God my Sundays. And I put this principle into practice that every Sunday I wouldn't do any university work, or wouldn't do it later on, or I wouldn't do any college work when I was in sixth form. And it was amazing because I shared often that I was the first person to hand my essays in every single time, yet I was the only person not to work on a Sunday. And I found that what he said to me was true, that if you give God time, he will give it back to you. Remember when I was 18, I had a couple of older Christians, I was 17 even, and I had a couple of 18-year-old Christians at my sixth form college. And they said this, they said they found it was crazy. Whenever they had a busy day, busy then was very different to busy now for me, okay? And they said when they gave God time first thing in the morning, it was like everything else fitted into place the rest of the day. And I learned the principle of resting in God. And that's the first thing we need to learn together is this. Rest in God. Can we say this together? Rest in God. Now, the different psalmists understood this idea. So David wrote in Psalm 23, verse 6, he wrote this, surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, remember, David had a different outlook than we have as Christians. For David to be in the house of God was to be by God's presence. It was to be by what they called the tabernacle, the holy of holies, the place that the Jews, where God said he was going to dwell in either in the tabernacle or the temple. It was a place where the closest place you can be to God's presence. And David's desire, all read through the Psalms so many different times, it was to be close to God. It was to be in his house, to be close to him. And you know, we need to be intentional, like David, about being close to God. You know, when we rest, we need to be close to him. You know, we can be near God wherever we are because of Jesus dying on the cross for us and sending us the Spirit. We can be there, but you know this. I can be at home with my wife, but I'm not present with my wife. My mind is somewhere else. I'm not close to her. I cannot be close to her sometimes when I'm in the same room as her. You need to choose to be present. And guys, for us, rest is not this. Sometimes we see rest as just sitting on the sofa. I went through a season where I came my day off and I was going on, and it was my treat day. When in fact, I would look through a bit of social media or YouTube shorts or something like that. And I'd find myself as my day off and I'd be resting. I'd sit on the sofa and then I'd start, what I heard the term is doom scrolling. You start flicking through online. Has anyone done it? Searching for random stuff. 2 hours later, you're like, where's that last 2 hours gone? You don't feel rested because your eyes are on that computer, the phone screen, and you feel awful. You feel really bad. You think to yourself, I wasted 2 hours. You haven't actually had a rest. Your brain can't switch off because of the stuff that it does, the computers do to your brains. And you feel terrible. And I worked out this, that if I want to rest and be close to God, I need to be really intentional about it. One of the places that I find close to God, and is this, I find being close to God in nature is one of the things that I love the most. I love running up a big hill where there's no one else around, where I can pause. I can look out across trees and forests and fields and go, wow, God, you're good. Now, some of you, that's your worst nightmare. That's, hey, we're all different. But you need to find that place where you can rest in God. It might be through sitting there and reading a good book. You know what? It could be through cooking. It could be through painting. It could be through gardening. But be intentional about your rest. Rest doesn't mean just sitting on your backside watching TV. That's not rest. That's being lazy. Okay. We can have rest is by getting ourselves refreshed and doing things. What is the thing that you can rest? You know, the problem with the Jews is they took this to extremes. You couldn't even pray for anyone on the Sabbath because that was work. That wasn't what God meant. God meant enjoy the life he's given you, that moment where you can enjoy it. Coming to church, going to prayer meeting, serving God, that can give you life. That gives you energy. It's a chance for him to refresh your soul. So I want to ask you, where is the space where God can refresh your soul? The next thing you need to do is this. First of all, rest in God. The next thing is this. You need to unhurry your soul. Now, I don't like preaching Christianese, okay? What I mean by preaching Christianese, I don't like using overly Christian terms all the time. But this is a really overly Christian term I've used, and I want to explain it a little bit because I couldn't think of a better way of explaining it. I came across the term of being hurried quite a lot. And I think we need to unhurry our soul. You know, before Christmas, just after Christmas, me and Naomi had a week off. And we had the best week off that we've had. And we felt so refreshed. The most refreshing week off I've had for so long. As you know, when you feel yourself, wow, it's really good. Because often what happens is when we go for time off, we do this. We work at 120 miles per hour because we know that we've got a week off and we want to make sure we create space to have a week off, don't we? So we get everything covered so that no one's going to disturb us, etc. But the problem is, like, teachers will especially know that, and those who work in schools, you're working at such a frantic pace, when you stop, you collapse. So how many people, when you go on holiday, they go, oh, just my luck. I'm on holiday and I've gone and got a bug. I've gone and got a virus. And the reason you've got that virus is you're working so hard, your body's stopping, and suddenly it's like, oh my goodness, you stopped, what's going on? And your immune system, nervous system, it works. But the reason we had such a good Christmas was this. We still work, we still gave everything 100%, but we deliberately didn't speed up to have that break. We deliberately started making sure that we were going to be in a place where we could actually be present with our children after Christmas. And not feel like we're going to collapse in a heap when it came. So we slowed down. We started to unhurry our minds and our body before the holiday came. And it was crazy because the difference it felt was amazing. You know, we need to unhurry our soul when we're learning to rest. If you are rushing around like a mad, like chicken. You know, when everyone talks about the headless chicken. Like, I grew up on a farm. I know what a headless chicken does. We used to count how many times they ran around our garden without a head on after we chopped their heads off. When you got a chicken that's stressed, the more stressed the chicken is, when you chop their head off, they run even further. The more relaxed they are, they just go plop, okay, and land on the floor. So me and my brothers would be going, is this going to be a 5 times around the garden or a 3 times around the garden? How many times? And some of you, you're like headless chickens. You know, I'm like a headless chicken sometimes. We're so stressed that actually when we have to stop, when our heads are taken off, essentially, our bodies will keep going. They're keeping that stress mode. How many of you know what I'm talking about? It keeps going and going. You can't relax. And the problem is we're so hurried in our soul that it feels really challenging. We can't have a rest. And then we go to rest and our mind is racing so much that we can't actually enjoy God's presence because we're just overwhelmed. This guy is quite small there. But this is a guy called John Ortberg who wrote about this. And he says there's a difference between being busy and being hurried. He says being busy means having a full schedule, many activities. It's an outward condition. So you've taken on too much. You need to slow down, but you've taken on too much. It's physically demanding, but it reminds you that you need God because you're struggling. He said, but being hurried is this. When you're hurried, you're preoccupied. You're racing. You're thinking about the next thing all the time. You are unable to be fully present. You know that feeling when someone's talking to you and you can't focus on them because you're thinking about the next thing? That's hurried. You feel spiritually drained. So when you stop, you're unavailable for God because your mind is just in overdrive consistently. Guys, you know what? We need to slowly unhurry ourselves as well. We can be busy, you can do things. Busy is not always a good thing, but busy is sometimes a good thing. You're enjoying life. The problem is when that takes over and is physically draining on you, that's when your soul is hurried. And if your soul is hurried, you cannot connect with God. Guys, we need to unhurry our soul. And finally, this. We need to learn to make the right choices for your time. You know what? I was going to say, learn to say no, but I've said that a few times in sermons. You know, have you ever noticed that Jesus was busy, but he wasn't hurried? You know this, he knew that it was important to spend time with God the Father. And he spent time with God the Father all the time. He knew how to say no. In John 11, we have this powerful, emotive story where Jesus' friend is dying, and Lazarus, and he's not well. They're sending messages to Jesus saying, Jesus, come quickly, come quickly. And Jesus is like, it's fine. 2 days later, he turns up. Now, if I was a pastor in that circumstance, you'd be like, what the heck is going on? But this is Jesus, the Son of God. And he's saying, no, don't worry about it. It's fine. And he didn't rush. He didn't hurry. And in fact, when he turns up to Lazarus, and he's died, and Lazarus' sister Martha runs up, and she says, Jesus, where were you? Why didn't you hurry? Why didn't you get here when you should have? And Jesus is like, don't worry. Don't panic. He was comfortable in saying no. In Matthew 12, we see Jesus' mother and brother are waiting outside for him. And he basically says, not now. I'm doing something. Matthew 16, when the Pharisees were demanding miracles, Jesus said no. In Matthew 15, Jesus withdraws from the crowds when everyone wants him to rest. Sometimes we need to say no, but the problem is we have a tendency to people please. We have a tendency to think everything depends on us. And one of the greatest things we can do in faith is to actually realize things depend on God, not on us. And God says we need to rest. Now, we don't have to say no to everything. Jesus is clear. We have to feed the hungry. We have to support the sick. We have to look after the widows and the orphans. We have to make the foreigners feel welcome. All these are biblical commands. But we're also called to rest. We're also called to say no if we're exhausted and we need a break. There's a pastor in America and Canada called Kerry Newhoff, and he says this: without a strategy for saying no, you default to yes, and your life vaporizes with other people's priorities being realized rather than yours. If you don't know how to say no, everyone else will know that you don't know how to say no, and they will sap your time. They will suck your family's time away as well. Take your time away from the family. And we can, they're going, and we always spiritualize that, well, I have to help. They're in need. No, we actually do have to help people, but we also have to rest and recuperate. One of your priorities should be to rest. If you don't learn to say no and have a rest, you'll just be left with stress. Now, our ability to enlarge, to stretch, to lengthen, to strengthen will be non-existent. I'm coming into land in a moment. I've learned this the hard way. Do you know what I discovered? I remember I try and take Thursday morning off every single week. I try and take the whole of Thursday off, but sometimes I make sure the morning is there. And it was amazing because the amount of people, when I started doing a Thursday morning off, so many people want to see me on a Thursday morning. It's crazy. Okay, I rejig some stuff around. But I found this, that everyone want your time. And whatever time you want off, people are always going to want to have time for you. And I've had to learn to be really intentional about my rest. Because what I was doing is sometimes I was taking time off. I was so hurried and preoccupied that I was absolutely exhausted when I got to my time off. And I was just doing it. So I had to find out what makes me work. I tried the lot of sitting in my pants all day long watching TV. And I remember the one day I was sitting there and I was having it was a youth trip on. I was living in Parkside then, it was quite a while ago. I was watching the West Wing, actually, and then playing some pro-evolution soccer in between. And I sat in my boxes all day, and that was it. And I thought, this is it, I'll take the dog out later on. And I don't know why I opened the door, but one of the youth got in trouble. So his grandmother comes up to my door and knocks on my door. And I thought it was a postman. So I opened the door and I'm in my pants. And there's this grandmother saying, "My grandkid's been banned from the trip. I'm not letting him go on the trip. Can I have my money back?" And I'm there going, this is a bit of an uncomfortable position to be in right now. So I tried that and it didn't work. I didn't have a refreshed soul. I felt a bit more exhausted when I finished. And I found out now, do you know what? My little thing for me relaxing and enjoying life is this. I go for my runs, not my marathon training runs. Those are horrible. I try and go for a nice length run. I come home, I bake a cake on the whole. My kids love a cake. And I worked out the nicest, easiest cakes to bake are loaf cakes. It gives me some satisfaction. I then go and I then have my quick shower. I lie on the sofa, the dog one side of me, and I put the rugby highlights on. And you know when I have that moment, it's just 4 hours, but it feels heavenly. It feels like a reconnect with who I am. That's my thing. Some of you think rugby's the worst thing in the world, okay? And it's just sports. That's fine. Find your thing that helps you. I do that. As I'm doing this, you might think I'm crazy. I'm praying. I'm listening to stuff. I'm just enjoying how God created me and the life I have. And have those moments of finding that rest. But I've got to be intentional. And sometimes I have to say no. So someone actually this week, they messaged me, "Are you available on Thursday morning?" No, because the rest of the week, I've got that many different meetings on Thursday morning. I need to keep it. I've had to say no. So none of you here have said that. So don't worry about it. There we go. But it's sometimes you do, not because I'm being awful or I'm just trying to be selfish. But I know to be the best person I can be, I need that time resting in God, doing what God has created me to be. Guys, if you want to lengthen and strengthen, you need to make these choices to rest. If you feel overwhelmed and stressed right now, find that thing that's going to help you. Could be sitting in a coffee shop with a book, rethinking about God. It could be going for a walk, but be intentional about it. If you're not, other people will hijack you, or you'll just doom scroll and do absolutely nothing. But when you do this, the difference in your life, I promise you, is absolutely incredible. And it's life-changing. It's absolutely life-changing. We all have the capacity to enlarge, to stretch, to lengthen, to strengthen. But we won't be able to do this if we don't rest. If we don't pause. I just want to finish off with a John Ortberg quote. And he says this, "When your soul is at rest, your will is undivided and obeys God with joy. Your mind and thoughts, your mind has thoughts of truth and beauty. You desire what is wholesome and good." When you're at rest, that's what happens. When you're tired, you reach for those chocolates you promised yourself you'd never do. When you're tired, you order that Chinese takeaway that you said you weren't going to eat because you wanted to be healthier. But when you're at rest, you make the good choices, don't you? Guys, that's what I want to encourage you today. And for some of you, this is an important message for you this morning. God says rest. God says slow down. God says be intentional about it. If it's just an hour, grab an hour. If it's just 20 minutes in between your babies, when your babies are sleeping, if you've got babies right now, grab it. But be intentional about getting rest. Because if you do it, you will have the capacity to achieve more than you could ever imagine. Whatever you do, don't doom scroll, okay? Don't just flick through your phone. That really won't give you rest. Can we stand together? Oh, Lord. I'm just going to invite the band up. Maybe for some of you, you're listening to that and you're going, I need rest today. I want to say to you, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? This is a chance with you and God now. Can we close our eyes for a moment? Let's just focus on God. Let's just focus away from distractions. And just come before God and say, God, I need rest. If that's you, just say, God, I need rest. God, give me the wisdom to put my the rest into place. Maybe you have just been sitting there doing nothing and it just feels like you're not achieving anything. What intentional things can you do this week to spend quality time with God the Father, to rest in God? What little practical steps can you make? What do you enjoy that you can just enjoy Him and how He created you? What can you do this week? For those of you who are just hurrying and hurrying and hurrying, and your soul is hurrying, and when you stop, you can't focus on anything. You can't focus on your family. You can't focus on your friends because your mind is just racing. Just now, just come before Him. Start saying, God, please help me to unhurry my soul. But what can you do to slow down, to de-hurry what's going on in your mind? What people can you speak to? What has God put around you to support you in that? And for some of you, maybe it's just saying, God, please give me the strength to say no. Please help me to say no today. Holy Spirit, we just welcome you into this place for a moment. We say, please speak to us today, Lord. Please encourage us. Please help us to leave this place to get rest. Lord, I pray for those who are just heavy burdened right now, who are weary, who are exhausted. Lord, will you give them rest? As they come to you, will you give them rest right now, Lord? Will you give them supernatural peace that unhurries their soul?